Hi, my name is Hilary Stupa. Microsoft has awarded me an InfoPath MVP annually since 2009. I spend a lot of time helping people in the InfoPath Dev Forum, which is also the home of my blog, and occasionally on the Microsoft Answers Forum as well. I'm an InfoPath developer for Qdabra Software. Qdabra provides tools, forms, and solutions to the InfoPath community. I work out of my virtual office in Eastern Oregon. In this video, I'll be talking about RESTful web services. I'll warn you in advance that InfoPath plus REST can be amazing, so hold on to your socks. First, I'll talk a little bit about what REST is, then go into some details about using REST, including some assistance in understanding various REST APIs. Then I'll address using REST with InfoPath, and finally I'll do a quick walkthrough so you can get a real-world example of the benefits. REST stands for Representational State Transfer, and it is an architectural style that was defined by Roy Fielding. REST-style architecture uses clients and servers, wherein clients request information and servers process the requests and return results. Generally, REST architectures use HTTP for this conversation. The format for returned resources depends on how the service is configured, but often data is returned as XML, or a format can be specified. Some RESTful web service providers include OData, Twitter, Bing Maps, The New York Times, and Excel services. If you've ever learned a new language, you know what it's like to look at a page and feel as if you can't comprehend a thing on it. Sometimes technical documentation can feel the same way. Since there are a variety of sources for REST services, each service's application programming interface is going to be different, and the quality and thoroughness of the documentation about that API will also vary. Some documentation will provide more information than others. For some REST web services, you'll end up doing some detective work to suss out how to access the service. However, you should find some documentation, and it should explain how you can request information from that particular server via URI. Keep an eye peeled for sample URIs. You'll also generally find information explaining the format in which data will be returned. If you want to use the service in InfoPath, you are looking for an option that is going to provide you with XML. The API documentation should also include information about any requirements for developers, such as creating an account or passing in an account ID or key with any data requests. You also may find that information by reviewing URI samples. In general, you can expect every API to be different, using different resource paths, different query parameters, and so on. Looking at the three URIs on this slide, the first one is to Bing Maps. It uses the V1 REST API and is going to return XML about Seattle. Bing Maps key is a placeholder for a real key that a developer would receive on creating a key for his or her application that consumes this data. You can see in the URI itself locations/Seattle, defining that that's the location we're asking about, as well as output equals XML. The second URI is to a service that returns data on federal spending. The data is being returned in XML format. For this API, that is DA type equals X. And you can see that it's for Alabama, where it says ampersand state equals AL. There's also a detail parameter being passed in. Without reviewing the documentation for this web service, we wouldn't know what the -1 indicated. Finally, the third URI is one we'll investigate further in the demo, and this is a link that returns a chart from an Excel spreadsheet that's been saved to a SharePoint library. Your SharePoint 2010 instance needs to have Excel services configured before you can use the Excel REST API, of course. You can use a web browser to test for return data from the URIs you create. If the URI returns XML, you may need to save the file to be able to examine it, depending on your browser setup. Don't let an error page in your browser fool you either. Be sure to view the source of the page to see if the data has been returned, but is not in a format your browser can render. To create a data connection in InfoPath, the REST URI you are using must be valid and return XML. InfoPath will not create a data connection if the output from your URI is not XML. You can modify the URI and form rules, allowing you to pass in data from your form. If you intend to modify the URI of the REST connection in rules in your form, don't forget to add another rule to execute the connection again. Just changing the URI isn't enough. Of course, if your form is going to be browser-enabled, you may need to convert your data connections in your form to UDCX connections. Finally, REST services can also be leveraged without data connections, and that's something we'll explore further in the demo. While some REST web services won't work with InfoPath, don't give up if your first attempt fails. Go back to the API documentation and make sure you are getting XML back from your URI. Don't forget, Atom is XML. Check for characters InfoPath won't allow, and look for workarounds or use URI encoding. For example, Excel REST would use a pipe character in a range delimiter, but you can use either a named range or you can use URI encoding. Check the URI you created. Is the resource valid? Does it exist? Check your URI in your browser. If you're still struggling, review the API documentation again and look for sample URIs and information on the data they will return. Some APIs will have a layer of discoverability, like the Excel REST API as seen in the lower right-hand corner screenshots. So enough technicalities. Let's go look at something you can actually use in your forms. By now you've guessed that the REST service I'm excited about for use with InfoPath is Excel. InfoPath offers no native data connections to Excel, but with REST, we can pull Excel data into our forms. Before we start looking at how to use the Excel REST web services in InfoPath, I'd like to direct you to the MSDN documentation on the REST API. This documentation provides all the details you'll need to access Excel data in your InfoPath forms. For the purposes of this demo, I'll be using this simple workbook. The first sheet we'll use has some budget line items in it and some data in the budget column. Checking the URI syntax on MSDN, we can see that first we need the page for the service, then the location of the workbook, followed by the resource. We can also see that the model resource will return the discoverability UI. From the model, we can investigate the ranges, charts, and other objects in our workbook. For example, if we click at ranges, we'll come to the budget and the result and the test range that I've set up within this workbook. Clicking on charts leads us to any available chart objects. In my form, I've already added a data connection to the named budget range in my spreadsheet. Here in the data connections dialog, down in the details, we can see that this is a REST web service, and you can see the URI I've used to access this particular range in my workbook. Note that I'm returning it in Atom format. I've already added some controls bound to the data. Looking at the data source task pane, we can see how the data is going to be returned. We have a repeating row group. Inside of that is a repeating cell group, so each row will return data for its cells. Within the cell group, we see FV and V. The FV field returns the formatted value, the V field returns the value. I'll preview the form so you can see the Excel data as it's returned by this data connection. The strings have no data in the V field, as expected, and since the budget and actual values in the sheet are numbers, the formatted value in this case matches the value. If we had a date, like in this view, we'd see the traditional Excel number representation of the date in the V field with the formatted date in the FV field. The data may be a little challenging to work with in this format. You'll need some XPath know-how. However, this is Excel data in an InfoPath form. It didn't have to be transferred to a SharePoint list or a database for InfoPath to consume it. This is just the tip of the Excel API iceberg. You can actually modify data using a REST URI. This isn't going to change the data in your workbook. It will only apply to the return data for that specific query. But this means that you can actually leverage Excel as a calculation engine. For example, back to my test workbook, I have the following. Cell B1 has a formula to return the ceiling of A1 using the significance indicated in A2. I can use this in InfoPath. First, I create a data connection that will return cell B1. I've used a name range to make it easier if I need to discover it from the model. I've added fields to my form for the values I want Excel to use in place of A1 and A2. Number and significance. My data connection for the result node isn't set to run on load because I don't want the value of B1 from the worksheet. I want a new value to be calculated based on the values in my form. For the sake of demonstration, I've already got a button in place with the rules we need, so let's take a look at the syntax. In a real production form, you'd probably place these rules on your fields instead so that it would recalculate any time either of these fields changed. The first action in my button rules is going to change the REST URI to pass in values from my form. As you can see, I'm changing my result data connection. This is the one that returns the value in cell B1 from sheet 3. And my formula looks like this. It's a concat formula. The first part of the URI Looks exactly like the URI I used for my data connection. It returns the result range. It returns it in the atom format. But now I'm adding additional ranges, and I'm setting the values of these ranges to values from my form. I'm setting A1 to equal the number field in my form, and I'm setting A2 to equal the significance field in my form. After changing the URI, I query using the data connection in order to return my new data. I'll enter a number in my number field and a significance in my significance field. The number field will be setting cell A1. The significance field will be setting cell A2. Calculating is going to modify the URI and return the result that we would have seen in cell B1 had we performed this calculation in Excel. So at this point, we've seen that we can return data from Excel to InfoPath, and we can manipulate the current values in our Excel workbook prior to returning the data. I'm sure you noticed that charts are one of the objects Excel exposes in the model we examined. In fact, we can display our chart object in the browser. Looking at the URI, we can see that the format is being returned as an image. From that point, it doesn't take a giant leap to realize that we can display and manipulate charts in our forms. In fact, we don't even need a data connection. We simply add a picture link control to our form, and we use a formula for the link. In this case, I'm passing form values in for the different cells for my actual values in my spreadsheet. Cell B2 is going to use my sales value, B3 is going to use my services value, and so forth. I'm returning this as an image format. I'd like to show you the result in a form published as a browser form, since I found the performance to be smoother in the browser. In the client, there's a bit of jumpiness as a picture refreshes in the form. So first, let's take one more look at the spreadsheet we're going to be using. You can see I've got budgets for sales, services, support, and consulting, but I've got no actual values listed here. My chart has a flat line across the bottom where the actual values would go. Having opened my form in the browser, I'm going to add some values for some of these fields that I'm going to be passing back to Excel to update the chart that's currently in my form. As you can see, as I tab through these fields and enter values, my chart is actually redrawing to reflect the values that I've entered. We'll need to publish our form in order to allow others to use it. I'm going to publish mine to Office 365. Under File, we select Publish, and we're going to publish to a SharePoint server. I've published this before, so there's already a library there. I'm just going to remove that and select Next. Since we've got a browser-compatible form, you can see that this is selected by default. We are going to publish to a form library. I'll select Next, and we are going to create a new form library at this time. I am going to name mine. As you can see, you also have the opportunity to add a description at this time. I'll select Next. We can promote properties here if we choose to, and I'll select Next. This shows the location where I'm about to publish this, the server type, the form library, and the security level. I'll select Publish, and you can see we've got information about where we publish to, as well as the ability to open the form library or to go ahead and open the form in the browser. When we open the form in the browser, you can see that our browser-enabled form has opened correctly and includes our Excel chart. These were some simple ideas of ways to leverage REST in InfoPath, in particular the Excel REST services that may already be available to you from your SharePoint 2010 instance. I encourage you to start exploring REST APIs, find the ones that work with InfoPath, and you'll be amazed at what you can make InfoPath do. This is Hilary Stupa of Qdabra Software, and I would like to thank you for joining me today.